their mistake. Henderson felt uncomfortable in his freshly washed clothes, his hair still damp and soapy from a hot bath. But this wasn't Hisville yet, and he needed to get on the good side of the local baron as quickly as possible. People put such stock into bathing. It was ridiculous. Animals didn't bathe. Why should humans? The food was barely adequate by his standards, but there was plenty, and it was decently hot. There was the expected communal bowl of stew, a mainstay in Anyville, and the meat tasted more like squirrel than rat or dog. That was a pleasant change. However, there were also several heaping platters of fried fish, with the head still attached. Some local crap about it improving the flavor. It was repugnant. They washed but ate fish heads. Where was the logic in that? Loaves of fresh acorn bread lay on wooden boards to keep the heat, along with small dishes of honey, but no butter. Henderson knew the Ville had goats. Why weren't the servants milking the animals? Didn't they know how? It was pathetic. These people desperately needed him to take over. Uncaring of the layer of hot grease, the sec men used bare hands to take servings of fried corn mush cakes. Henderson took a small one and fed it to one of the many dogs laying under the table, probably for just such a reason. The single bright note was a heaping bowl of stewed dandelion leaves. Merely being polite, he tried a leaf and was stunned to discover the weeds were delicious. There was water and green beer to drink, barely fermented and tasting strongly of wheat. Didn't these idiots know how to plant rye? Probably not.
Is the food to your liking, Baron?
A partially chewed fish head peeked out from between the sec man's lips. Henderson finished chewing some fried mush before answering. It was as tough as fried shoe and almost as tasty, but he smiled and speared another piece with his fork, transferring it to his plate for dissection before the long and arduous process of consumption. They could patch holes in the roof with these things. Simply horrid.
Best I've ever had. Pity there are no onions. Always loved the things.
Onions? That's servant food. Onions and fish guts.
The sec man laughed at the witticism and pounded the table to encourage their baron for another. Henderson damned them all for idiots. Trying not to scowl, the white-haired baron pushed away his plate and took a sip from his mug.
Oh, no, my dear friend. Food fit for a baron. Dice the onions, dip them in beer, roll them in breadcrumbs, and fry them in fat. Utterly delicious and very healthy. Good for the blood.
Yes, well, we'll have to try that sometime.
Duquesne's manner indicated that Deathlands would become a lush green jungle before that happened. Suddenly there was a commotion in the hallway leading to the banquet hall, and the sec men stationed along the walls drew weapons and filled the doorway with their bodies. There were some shouted words, and the guards quickly parted to admit a panting sec man covered with road dust and a strong reek of horse.
My lord, I've just returned from Casanova, and the story the old pervert tells is true.
Henderson narrowed his eyes at the words, but said nothing. There would be time for retribution later, but the scout just went to the top of his shit list.
His will was melted?
The man nodded excitedly.
Yes, my lord. The area is flat stone with bits of huts and bones sticking out, and still warm to the touch. It's true!
The sec men muttered among themselves at the pronouncement, and most drained their mugs, eyes full of worried thoughts. Seaton made no reaction to the dire news, the sec chief as calm and cool as a winter corpse. Baron Duquesne put aside his knife and fork.
So it's real.
Of course.
Wine! We need a toast for our valued guest and advisor in the coming war on Front Royal.
The young girl scurried aside as an adult woman hurried into the dining hall with a silver tray bearing goblets and dark bottles. Inspecting the wine as it was placed on the table, Henderson saw in dismay that the cork wasn't flared and knew this was no pre-dark vintage, just some damn local brew. Gods of the Atom help him survive another meal with these barbs. Raw pig with cannies couldn't be worse than this horrid slop.
Splendid idea. My pleasure.
The servant opened each bottle and filled the crystal goblets, painstakingly careful not to spill a single drop. A sec man raised his goblet and sloshed some wine on the table.
To the death of Nathan Carter.
Anderson smiled and reached for his own glass when there was a shattering crash at the window. Everybody turned and saw a scream wing partially impaled on the wooden splinters of a plank halfway into the room. The leathery muti shrieked and struggled, tiny rivulets of blood trickling down to the floor.
Fucking hell.
Seaton holstered his large blaster, drew a wheel gun, and fired. The slug plowed through the winged animal, blowing its head out its ass. The wings fluttered wildly for a moment, then the mutilated body plummeted out of sight into the vill below. Baron Duquesne holstered his own blaster and sat again.
Damn things are always attacking the windows. We have no idea why.
Cracks.
What was that?
Cracks. Openings between the wood planks. The light from the lanterns must sparkle off the glass, making the muties think it's water underneath.
And we're the fish? How very amusing.
Only to you, half-brain, Henderson shot back mentally. Lifting his glass, the old Baron then paused in the realization that his attention had been off the goblet during the whole Screamwing incident. Could it have all been a trick? Glancing casually over the sparkling rim of his drink, Henderson saw Duquesne sniffing hesitantly at his own goblet.
We have a small problem here. I think the wine has turned bad. Fresh wine, woman!
At once, my lord.
The servant raced from the room.
No need for that.
Henderson drew the bowl of fruit closer. He poured the apples and pears onto the floor, the fruit rolling about randomly. Then he poured his drink into the bowl and pushed it toward the other baron. Duquesne did the same, then lifted the bowl and poured half of the combined wine back into his goblet. Henderson finished the process, and they clinked glasses.
To victory!
Death to our enemies!
Henderson smiled, releasing his grip on the .44 Derringer, hidden in his jacket. A soft wind blew over Shilohville as Sheffield stood outside the Quonset hut and watched through the open doorway at the team of Sekhmen smashing the delicate gateway with sledgehammers. As men carried the pieces outside, a sergeant cut each into even smaller segments with an acetylene cutting torch. Privates would load wheelbarrows with the debris and cart the material across the compound, through the southern gate, then dump the trash over the cliff into the abandoned stone quarry. Sheffield still couldn't believe that Ryan and one of his Sekhmen still lived and raided the warehouse right in the middle of his vill, in broad daylight. With Silas dead, this was all of the pre-dark supplies Sheffield would ever have. Luckily, Ryan wasn't as smart as Sheffield had been led to believe, and had thrown grins without priming them first. Triple stoop. And Ryan was supposed to be the son of a baron. Ha! Son of a slack-jawed mutie was more like it. Cheering sounded from the distance, and Sheffield whirled with a hand on his blaster, just in time to see a battered LAV-25 roll through the front gate and into the Shiloh base. The vehicle parked near the blockhouse, and the Baron started to walk that way. Four of its eight tires were missing, the body armor was scorched, the plexiglass cracked, but a smiling sergeant stood in the open turret of the WAG, waving at the other blues and beaming as if he had just invented fucking. The sergeant ducked inside the turret to climb out the back along with a handful of men. They were smiling and happy, but that could mean anything.
Well, did you find a dish? Answer me!
Kemble saluted the Baron.
It was a bitch of a trip, sir. You wouldn't believe what we...
Well!
Campbell's smile faded, and he saluted again, with a bit more of a snap.
Sir, success, my lord. We found a dish, complete and intact, right near a juicy vill just waiting to be taken.
Sheffield crossed his arms.
You've been gone too long for it to be in Georgia or Carolina. Was it Front Royal?
Green Coveville, sir, in Virginia, near the river and the rill.
Better.
A wan smile played across Sheffield's tired face. He had been looking forward to melting Front Royal down around the ears of Nathan Cotter. If he couldn't chill Ryan, then his nephew would have to pay for the man's crimes. Blood for blood, that was the first rule of Deathlands. Never forgive, and never forget.
You did well, men. Go wash and get some hot food. You'll be the point men for our convoy on the return trip out there tomorrow morning.
His feelings of elation fading, Campbell blinked at the news.
That soon, my lord?
Sheffield turned away to look over the assemblage of Sekhmen.
Even sooner would be better. You there, Lieutenant Harris.
Busy congratulating the Beta Team Blues, the Sekhmen stopped shaking their hands and hurried to the Baron.